Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Perek Yud Aleph. V'hamelech Shlomo ahav nashim nochriyot rabot ve'et bat paro, Moabiyot, Ammoniyot, Adomiyot, Zidoniyot, Hittiyot. So in this perek, we begin reading about the sins of Shlomo HaMelech, the things that will eventually lead on a cosmic level to the split of the Melucha, and we've already seen the seeds for this upcoming events and in previous parakim. So HaMelech Shlomo, King Shlomo, here being emphasized because his motivation for marrying all these women was his desire to preserve the kingdom, to have political alliances, fell in love with many foreign women, including Bat Paro, or especially Bat Paro, the daughter of Paro from Mitzrayim. And now they list the other women who were the Nashim Nochriyot from Moab and Ammon and Edom and Sidon, who's a offspring of Canaan, and Hittiyot, the only one here was a member of the seven member nations that we need to destroy. Min ha'goyim asher amar Adonai el b'nei Yisrael lo tavo'u bahem v'hem lo yavo'u bachem. So as opposed to Perek Gimel, where we saw that Shlomo was in love with Hashem, now he's in love with Nashim Nochriyot, and they are Nashim Nochriyot from specifically the nations that God told Bnei Israel not to have any intermarriage with. Perhaps this general prohibition is referring to what we read in Parashat Ve'etchanan, V'lo tethaten bam, ki asir et mincha me'acharai. So we have here the idea of Shlomo specifically clinging on to love the women that were commanded to him and to the Jewish people not to have any intermarriage. And he had in his harem 700 full status queens and 300 pilagshim, concubines, and his wives were able to sway his heart. It means away from Hashem. Now, Shlomo's propensity to establish alliances and not to use his military might is part of his successful reign over a large area. It's also stemming from his father's savaah to him in regards to why David was unable to build Beit HaMikdash, because his hands were full of blood. Shlomo HaMelech, who's supposed to build Beit HaMikdash, has a model from his father that he must be the one who's going to be Shalom, Shlomo. He will be the one who has peace. He does not want to enter into battles with people. And so he's going to do what he can throughout his kingdom to avoid war. Even though he's amassing a tremendous army, he never ever goes to battle. And I've spoken about this on previous occasions, that this impetus for being able to build Beit HaMikdash is perhaps one of the downfalls of how Shlomo HaMelech decides to go about his political alliances with the Nashim Nochriyot, which leads him away from Hashem. V'hi le'ed ziknat Shlomo nashav hitu et levavo acharei Elohim acherim v'lo haya levavo shalem im Adonai Elohav kelvav David Aviv. And at the time Shlomo became older, his wives were able to turn his heart away from Hashem to go after other gods, and his heart wasn't whole with Hashem, as his father's heart, David, was. Very interestingly, we might have had some hesitancy in regards to giving David that accolade. Here the text takes that as a given. David is the gold standard for against whom everyone needs to be compared. And Shlomo HaMelech, only in his elder years, is swayed by his wives. It seems clear that it's Shlomo himself that's being swayed, and not only his wives, although later we might have some textual ambiguity on that point. And Shlomo is only in his older years, meaning that he has for many years did succeed in not being influenced by his foreign wives. Now, his idea of keeping the peace, again, is something that is going to allow him to, or require him to be more tolerant. And he becomes more tolerant not only of their being present in the kingdom, but also to having their foreign influences pervade.
V'yelech Shlomo acharei ashtoret elohe sidonim v'acharei melkom shikutz amonim.
And Shlomo HaMelech himself went after, I don't know if that means he followed the practices of, or he went after their philosophies of Ashtoret, which was the name of the Avodah Zarah of Sidon, and Milkom, which was the name of the Avodah Zarah of Ammon. Here the usage of the word Shikutz, the abomination, the detestation of the Ammonim, doesn't mean that the Ammonim looked at Milkom and felt that it was an abomination. It was that the text here, the Tanakh, in giving us over what's going on, is utterly disgusted with Shlomo's behavior and with this whole idea of having to even mention a foreign god. And so therefore the text is replacing the word Elohe with the word Shikutz. So in the beginning it sets up this Binyan Av with Ashtoret Elohe Tzidonim. So we have that as the initial standard. And then Milkom, it doesn't go on to say Elohe Ammonim, it's going to be Shikutz. And later in the Perek we may have also other, we have in Pasuk Zayin more of the idea of Shikutz meaning Elohe. And this also comes to play in Sefer Bereshit when we talk about Mitzrayim and Tu'avat Mitzrayim Korua Etzon. It's not that the Egyptians have an abomination or are detesting people who herd sheep, but rather because the gods of the Egyptians are the sheep, the people who are the Ro'e Etzon are like considered gods already to the Egyptians. So the word Tu'avat needs to also be replacing the word Elohe. Similarly, when Moshe speaks to Par'o in Shemot, and he says, Ki Tu'avat, he's speaking to Paro and he says, we're going to sacrifice the abomination of Egypt to their eyes and they won't stone us. So clearly there he's not referring to the abomination of Egypt, he's referring to the gods of Egypt. It's also suspect whether Moshe would be that audacious to tell Paro to his face that referring to their gods as an abomination, it's a question. It probably was saying Elohe Mitzrayim le'enehem b'lo yiskelunu. And the text, and it's the detestation of Avodah Zarah and having to mention Elohim Mitzrayim, also replaces the word Elohe with Tu'avat. So here is also a situation with the same type of word replacement. And Shlomo did evil in the eyes of God, and he didn't follow God as his father David did. Again, same comment as before. Whether or not David would receive that accolade was the question, but again, the text takes it as a given. But here again, clearly, the text states that Shlomo is the one who did evil in the eyes of God, not only vicarious liability for his wife's actions. As Yivneh Shlomo Bama, L'chmosh Shikutz Mo'av Bahar, Asher Pnei Yerushalayim, Mol Molech Shikutz Bnei Amon, V'chein Asa L'chon Nashav Anokhiyot Makterot Mezabechot L'lohehen. And then Shlomo also built high places, meaning Mizbechot for the Avodah Zarah, for Kmosh on the mountains that are over facing or before Yerushalayim, that means really to the east of Yerushalayim, and Molech, which is the god of Ammon. And he did that for all of his foreign wives who are bringing incense and sacrifices to their gods. And this is the Pasuk that seems to imply that really Shlomo just aided and abetted. He helped them set up the Bamot, set up these places for worship for their local gods that they came with from their foreign countries. And again, this is to keep the peace and to show tolerance. And Shlomo HaMelech allowed them to do their things. And that's what this Pasuk seems to imply. But the next Pasuk continues. Ve'itanaf Adonai b'Shlomo, ki nata levavo, me'im Adonai Elohei Yisrael, hanera elav pa'amayim. And God got angry with Shlomo HaMelech because his heart had turned away from Hashem, the God of Israel, meaning now he's worshipping the gods of other nations. And he's also turned away from this God, Hanir'a Elav Pa'amayim, who appeared to him twice, Vetziva Elav ala davar hazeh, lebilti lechet acharei elhim acherim, velo shamar et ashesiva Adonai. And twice God appeared to him to specifically tell him and command him about this particular warning, not to go after foreign gods, and he didn't keep what God had commanded. He didn't stay away from the Avodah Zarah. Vayomer Adonai l'Shlomo. And now the third time that God appears to Shlomo, the final time, Ya'an asher haitazot imach v'lo shamarta beriti v'chukotai shesiviti alecha, because you've done this and you haven't kept my covenant and my laws which I commanded you, karo akra et mamlecha me'alecha untatiha le'avdecha. I'm going to tear away the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. And similarly, we had some similar language when it was by Shaul, where Hashem sends through Shemuel, Taticha, le'racha hatov mi'mekka. There is to your fellow, to your friend, who's better than you, meaning referring to David in that situation. Here, he's going to give it to an Eved, which is even worse of a punishment, to know that your kingdom is going to go to one of the servants, not to a peer. Ach b'yamecha lo esenna leman David avicha, miyad bencha ekra'enna. But I'm not going to do this during your days because of your father David, meaning what I promised to David. I will take it rather, I'll rip the kingdom away from your son. Rak et kol ha'mamlecha lo ekra, shevet echad eten levnecha. Leman David abdi, ulman Yerushalayim asher bacharti. And I'm not going to rip away all of the kingdom from him. He'll have one Shevet I will give to him to rule over. Again, in honor of David, my servant. Again, this time David is the servant. Ulman Yerushalayim asher bacharti. So now suddenly we have an introduction of Yerushalayim. And we've seen this in previous Perakim in Perek Chet, when we talked about the Tefillah of Shlomo in regards to the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash, and he starts off by saying, "Min hayom asher hoceti et amei Eretz Yisrael mimitzrayim lo bacharti be'ir mikol shevtei Yisrael lebnot bayit liyot shemi sham, va'evchar be'David liyot al ami Yisrael." He starts the pasuk by saying, "He's never chosen a city in order to place his name there, and I chose David." You know, this combination of Yerushalayim and Malchut Bet David is something that is being repeated here as well. And we see that Hashem is also saying that He's going to continue the kingdom with the children of Shlomo on behalf of David and Yerushalayim, which seems to be a team together. And again, indeed, it was David who made Yerushalayim the capital. We're now going to read a few pieces that speak about Shlomo's political adversaries, the ones that were not eliminated the same way the ones that we read in the beginning of the Sefer were, meaning those were all killed off, these people ran away. It's not clear in these episodes whether they are happening at this current time sequentially at the end of his days after he started worshipping Avodah Zarah as a punishment, or rather these were events that were going on throughout Shlomo's kingdom, throughout reign, and now they're being reported in order to give the reader the sense of this punishment for Shlomo's sins. Vayakim Adonai Satan l'Shlomo et Hadad ha'Adomi mizera ha'melech hu be'edom. God sent up an adversary to Shlomo, whose name was Hadad. He was an Adomi, and he was from the royal line in Edom. And again, this is Satan, who could possibly be in the earlier times of Shlomo's reign, because we know that when he spoke with Hiram earlier in the Sefer to get the things for the Beit HaMikdash, the comment there that's made is, there is no Satan, en Satan ve'en Pegara. Here, there is a Satan, so perhaps this was prior to that, or it could be that it occurred afterwards. V'hi b'hiyot David et Edom, ba'alot Yoav sar ha'tzava lekabel et ha'chalalim, v'yach kol zachar be'edom. Ki sheshet chodashim yashav sham Yoav, v'chol Yisrael ad echrit kol zachar be'edom. And it was at that time, when David was in Edom, and having his battles there with the Edomim, Yoav had gone up to bury the dead. It seems to be that David's netzivim, the people who were there to collect the taxes, were killed by the Edomim in an attempted coup, and David went back to have a battle with them to retake and reclaim the territory. Yoav was burying the dead of the netzivim that were killed, and at that time David and the army were killing all of the males in Edom, and Yoav stayed there for 6 months afterwards with all of the army until he managed to successfully kill all of the males in Edom. Ve'yivrach Hadad hu va'anashim adomiyim me'avdei aviv ito lavo mitzrayim v'hadad na'ar katon. So Hadad, or Hadad, here being used interchangeably with the Aleph and the Hey, he and his people ran away. They were the other people who ran away with him were loyal to his father, to Hadad's father. And they went to Mitzrayim, and Hadad at that time was a young child. Vayakumu Midyan, vayavou Paran. ויקחו אנשים עמם מפרן, ויבואו מצרים אל פרעה מלך מצרים, ויתן לו בית ולחם עמלו וארץ נתן לו. So they left Midian. They started out in Edom, and they're running away. So they ran towards Midian, and they went to Paran. If you look at the map, it's, you know, all southerly direction. They took people from Paran together with him to make some type of an entourage, and they got to Mitzrayim, to Paroh, Melech Mitzrayim. Here the name of Melech Mitzrayim is Paroh. Again, it might be a generic name for the Melech, but later in the Perek we'll see a different name for Melech Mitzrayim, so it's significant in here, the Melech is Paroh. V'yiten lo bayit, as a perhaps a collegial courtesy for being a fellow king, or from a fellow royal family, who this time is a child and does not really pose a threat. He gives him a place to live, and he lechem amalo, he commanded others to give him food, lechem being used as a general category for food, ve'eretz natan lo, and he also gave him lands. This might also be some type of payback. It might also be in relations to Midian or the people from Paran that he brought with him, that he would be able to have some friendly relations with Mitzrayim. But we see here that Mitzrayim becomes a safe home for people who are running away from Malchut Yisrael. And perhaps when Shlomo is having his marriage to Bat Paroh, he's doing so in order to keep his enemies under guard by Mitzrayim. וימצא הדד חן בעיני פרעה מאוד, ויתן לו אישה את אחות אשתו, אחות תחפנס הגבירה. And Hadad found favor in Paroh's eyes very much, and he liked him so much he even gave him as a wife the sister of his wife, his sister-in-law, the sister of Tachpenes, who was the full queen. Yeah, you know, even the word Tachpenes might mean full queen, but here is being used together as a term, as a title. Tachpenes, the queen, is the queen. ותלד לו אחות תחפנס את גנובת בנו, ותגמלהו תחפנס בתוך בית פרעה, והיא גנובת בית פרעה בתוך בני פרעה. And אחות תחפנס, the new wife of Hadad, gave birth to a son whose name was גנובת, and תחפנס raised him in the palace. Right, so she raised her nephew inside the palace as if it was her own. And Genuvat was in the palace of Paroh, raised amongst the other children of Paroh. V'hadad shama b'mitzrayim, ki shachav David im avotav, v'chimet yoav sar hatzava, v'yom hadad al Paroh, shalecheni v'elech el arzi. In what sounds like reminiscent of Yitro's request of Moshe to go back to his homeland, so too Hadad, when he hears that David is dead and Yoav is dead, he wants to go back to his country. In other words, he wants to take opportunity now to reclaim his throne, to get back the kingdom. This is again, seems to be after David and Yoav is dead. It means that Shlomo rose to power. He had the time until Yoav was killed. And then word got to Mitzrayim. And only then did Hadad think of going back. And so it seems to be that it's not chronological at this point. This seems to have gone on earlier in the kingdom of the reign of Shlomo. Bayom alo faro kimata chaserimi v'incha mevakesh alechet el arzecha. What's you're missing anything here? If it were, you got perfect paradise here with me. Bayom alo ki shaleach teshalechen. He says, no, let me go. Similar to Yitro's repeated request and the adamant refusal to stay, so too we have the idea of Hadad. He wants to go back. The text is silent at this point. Presumably the tenacity with which he had in order to say, no, I need it, please send me, means that he eventually did get to go, and we'll see later that he does cause problems to Shlomo. Vayakem Elohim lo Satan et Rezon ben Eliada, asher barach me et Hadadezer melech Sova Adonav. So again, we have another runaway political fugitive that was another adversary to Shlomo. And again, this idea of Vayakem Elohim lo Satan that we had by both Hadad and here by Rezon ben Eliada seems to imply that it is in retaliation, in retribution to Shlomo's sins with regards to the Avodah Zarah. But if it does happen earlier in his kingdom, it seems to be difficult to do that unless God was foretelling the future and setting things up way in advance in order to have them in place for when Shlomo eventually will sin. These political adversaries will have already been in position, part of God's master plan. And so Rezon ben Eliada is adversary number two. He ran away from Hadadezer, Melech Sova, who was his master. So apparently, Vayikbot Salab Anashim, Vayisar Gedud, Baharok David Otam, Vayilchud Damasek, Vayishvu Va, Vayimlechu B'damasek. So it happened when David was fighting with Aram. So Rezon runs away from Hadadezer, his boss, the king of Tzova, and he was a Sargedud, so he manages to collect up people, or he became a Sargedud after he collected the people together, to gather the people together. They go to Damasek, and eventually they not only able to seek and receive refuge there, but they also become the reigning power in Damasek. And so we have Rezon, who manages to run away and become yet a powerful force in Damasek, and seems to imply that he's no longer subjugated to Malchut Yisrael, which is how this whole thing started when David was taking over that area of Sova and Damasek, and David was able to have them be taxpayers. But he satan Yisrael kol yemei shlomo ve'et hara shen hadad ve'yakos b'Yisrael ve'yimloch al aram. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Shlomo HaMelech. So even though Shlomo's kingdom is described in previous Perakim as picture perfect, we have these political adversaries that are causing trouble, which seems to mean that they are having their sporadic raids into Israel and causing damage. And this is in addition to the terrible times and the trouble that Hadad was causing. And this is how we know that it seems like Hadad did go back and did cause trouble, because here it says Ve'et hara'a shel Hadad Ve'yakotz be'Yisrael, and they were disgusted with Israel, and he was reigning on Aram. And again, so we see that he managed to take back control over the area of Aram, of Sova, where David had originally taken control. And Ve'yakotz be'Yisrael means they had enough of Israel, they had the rebellion against Israel, and they stopped paying taxes. And this is still during the great reign of Shlomo HaMelech. Ve'yerovam ben Nevat, Ephratim min Atzereda, v'shem imo Tzrua, isha almana, eved l'shlomo, v'yarem yad b'melech. And Yerovam ben Nevat, who we'll be hearing about plenty, from Ephratim, Tzereda, a place Tzereda, v'shem imo Tzrua, isha almana, Tzrua is the woman's name, but it also might be a play on words in regards to someone who has Sara'at. They're trying to denigrate the Yerovam at this point. She was an Isha Almana, and he is an Eved Lishlomo, that magic word that we saw before, which should tip us off right away that we're going to be dealing with the future king of Israel. He is Shlomo's Eved. That's the language that we heard from Hashem, that he's going to give the kingdom to his Eved. And Yerovam ben Nevat rebels against the king, meaning against Shlomo. וזה הדבר השני מיד במלך. Shlomo בנה את המילו, סגר את פרץ עיר דוד אביו. And this is what issue was raised in order to rebel against the king. It was that Shlomo built the milo and closed off the entryways from the city of David, from Ir David, his father. So it's not very clear exactly how this is the watershed event. It's possible that he didn't say Shlomo HaMelech. It could be that people were upset with the who built the Milo and didn't really know that it was politically, it was funded by the king, and then Yerovam revealed that indeed it was Shlomo. Or it was because Shlomo's building up of the Milo closed off a common entryway to go for the Oler Galim to get to Bet HaMikdash, and people had to go all the way around, and people were really upset about that. And it was because Shlomo did that that Yerovam was able to say, look what this king does. He wants to give his women palaces, and for that everybody else has to suffer. He couldn't make us a little walkway here, you know, so let's see what we can do to change government. V'ha'ish Yerovam gibor hayil. And Yerovam, the man, was a mighty warrior or a man of valor. V'yar Shlomo et ha'na'ar ki osem melachahu, v'yafked oto lechol sevel bet Yosef. And Shlomo saw this na'ar, doesn't mean a lad, it wasn't not a young man, we already saw that he was an ish, but rather na'ar, he saw this person who was a mesharet, right? V'hu na'ar et b'nei bilha et b'nei zilpan neshaviv by Yosef. The word na'ar means to serve. V'yoshua ben nun na'ar lo yamish mitoch ha'ohel. Ki osem melachahu, Shlomo saw this person who was serving in government, and he does good work, and he gave him to be in charge of all of the taxes to be collected from the Shevet of from Bet Yosef. Obviously, this is before he was the he made his rebellion. In the beginning, Yerovam was part of the machinery of the government. And at that time, Yerovam left Yerushalayim, apparently to go do his job. And Yachya Shiloni, the Navi, found him baderech, a significant place where things move and transform. And he's covered with, he's wearing a new garment, and the two of them are alone in the Sadeh. The Sadeh, also some type of non-territory where things can happen. It's not in the realm of the monarchy. It's in the open field. It's not the palace. And here, it's not clear who's wearing this new piece of clothing. Vayitpos Achiya b'salma ha-chadasha asher alav v'yikorei ha-shnem asar kiraim. Achiya grabs hold of this new garment, which is on him. Also the him, not clear. And he rips it into 12 separate tears. And so it's not clear whose garment he's ripping, but ostensibly he's ripping his own garment, because Yerovam probably would take offense at Achiya ripping his clothes if he didn't already know what's about to happen. Vayomel Yerovam, kach lecha asara kiraim. And he tells Yerovam, take 10 kiraim, 10 pieces of the 12 that I just ripped up. Kicho amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael, hineni koreya et hamamlacha miyad Shlomo, v'natati lecha et asara hashvatim. I'm going to rip apart, I'm ripping away the kingdom from Shlomo, and I'm going to give you 10 shvatim. Out of the 12 shvatim of Am Yisrael, you're going to have 10 of them. V'hashevet ha'echad, yiyeh lo leman David Aviv, Abdi David, ulman Yerushalayim, ha'ir asher bacharti ba mikol shvatei Yisrael. And the one tribe, which really only makes 11, but we're presumably Yehuda and Benjamin are lumped together. And the one Shevet is going to be for him, for the person, for Shlomo, because of my servant David, and because of Yerushalayim, the city that I've chosen from all of the Shevtei Israel. And again, that harkens back to the Pasuk we read from Perek Chet, Haim Bacharti Be'ir, and here it is, Bacharti Be'ir of Yerushalayim, for the sake of David. David wanted me to pick Yerushalayim, and I picked Yerushalayim, just like Shlomo wanted me to pick Beit HaMikdash, and I picked Beit HaMikdash to instill my presence. And it seems to be at this point that we're talking about Shlomo, meaning Shlomo is only going to have one Shevet. Yan asher azavuni vayishtachavu le'ashtod elohe tzidonim l'chmosh elohe mo'ab l'mokom elohe b'nei Amon v'lahalchu bedrachai la'asot hayashar b'nai v'chukotai v'mishpatai k'David Aviv. And all of this is because they left me, and they're worshipping Ashtoret, and they're worshipping Kemosh, and they're worshipping Milcom, the gods of the Sidonim, Moab, and the Ammon. And they didn't follow my path, and they didn't do what was right in my eyes, and my statutes, and my laws, the way that David did. I'm not going to take away all the kingdom from him. Because I'm going to place him as a nasi, a president, a prince. I'm going to make him over part of the kingdom for all of his life, because I promised that to David, who I chose, and who did fulfill all of my mitzvot and chukim. So Pasuk Lamed Hey comes and says, I'm going to take the kingdom from the hands of his son and give it to you, the 10 tribes. It seems to be that in the heat of the moment there was this idea that Shlomo was going to lose part of the kingdom. When we get to the part about David and the promises that were made to David that his son will be able to rule, so the decree is pushed off to the son of Shlomo in the times of Rechavam, and we'll get to that soon enough. And that's when they're going to have the split of the kingdom. He'll have one, and that's going to be a nir. A nir is like a furrow. Now, other people wanted to say it's like a nair. Other people want to say it's something. I think it's just a furrow. It means it's a long line. In English, it's a line, the line of succession. And therefore, we want to have continuity for David's line, just like the nir is a furrow in the field. And that's going to be his continuation of the melucha throughout in Yerushalayim, the city that God has chosen to place his name or his kavod there. I'm taking you, Yerovam, and you're going to rule any way you want, and you're going to be the king on Israel, the rest of the Shvatim. And you can rule any way you want, meaning you pick a different city. You want to pick Shechem, later he'll pick Shechem, Peniel, he's going to move from place to place, Yerovam, and all those places will be successful for him. והיה אם תשמע את כל אשר אסבך והלכת בדרכי ועשית הישר בעיני לשמור לחוקותי ומצוותי כאשר עשה דוד עבדי והייתי עמך ובניתי לך בית נאמן כאשר בניתי לדוד ונתתי לך את ישראל. And so Hashem promises Yerovam the same promise that he gave to David and to Shlomo. If you behave properly and you listen to all of what I command you and you follow my ways and you do what's right in my eyes to keep and preserve my statutes and commandments, just like David, my servant, did. Already a number of times in this perek, David is being referred to as the establishment of the standard against which all the kings are going to be measured. And then I will be with you and I will create and build up for you a line of kings, just like I did for David, and I will give you to rule over Yisrael. David ach lo chol hayamin, and I'm going to afflict, I'm going to torture the offspring of David because of this, meaning because they did not keep the berit and the chukotai u'misvotai, and they worshipped avodah zarah, but not forever, meaning there is some forecasting into the future that the Zera David will not be afflicted, but will come back to rule over all of Am Yisrael. Vayvakesh Shlomo lehamit et Yerovam, vayakom Yerovam yibrach Mitzrayim el Shishak melech Mitzrayim vahi b'Mitzrayim ad mot Shlomo. And then when Yerovam carried out his rebellion, then Shlomo wants to kill Yerovam. It's not clear that Shlomo ever knows about this nevuah of Ahiyah Shiloni, and that's why he wants to kill Yerovam, but Yerovam is being sought after by Shlomo to be killed, and Yerovam runs away to Mitzrayim, whereas we already saw that Hadad also ran away to Mitzrayim. At this point, it doesn't seem that Hadad is there anymore. It's also a different king in Mitzrayim. Now it's Shishak Melech Mitzrayim, and he was in Mitzrayim until Shlomo died, and then we're going to see that Yerovam comes back on the scene. ויתר דברי שלמה בכל אשר עשה וחוכמתו הלא הם כתובים הספר דברי שלמה. And here we have, as we've had a number of other places, a reference to books that we no longer have, but these are the history books of Shlomo HaMelech. Also has the rest of what Shlomo did and all of his great wisdom. They're all written up in דברי שלמה. והימים אשר מלך שלמה בירושלים על כל ישראל 40 שנה. And the days and the period of time that Shlomo was king over Yerushalayim and all of Israel was 40 years, and now we have Yerushalayim as the focal point, but also Al Kol Yisrael, because that's going to be the last time that we have such a thing. And he ruled for 40 years, which is this complete number. It seems like it's a complete reign. He didn't get only 20 years, he had full 40 years. Vayishkav Shlomo im avotav, vayikaver be'ir David aviv, vayimloch Rechavam beno tachtav. And the perek ends by telling us that Shlomo dies, he's buried with his fathers in Ir David, and his son Yerachavam is going to rule after him. So we have the complete demise of Shlomo's kingdom in this perek, a very quick deterioration, and we tried throughout the earlier perekim to show that it's not that quick. Actually, there were seeds for the cracks in the armor earlier on, and we'll see as the kingdom splits how the impact of this event trickles down.